live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo. He's unbelievable.
Nico is on fire.
Oh my goodness, how does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and someone who is still crownless in Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, me, James Campbell.
How long do you go playing this game before you quit because you cannot win a game?
I don't know, but I'm getting to the point where they just did an update and I think they made the game harder. It's so much harder to win. I can usually get to like the third, fourth round. I can't get past like the second round.
Oh,
I'm out the first
James.
Round most of the times now.
To make you feel worse, my daughter has a crown in Fall Guys. So that's the kind of competition you're losing to.
Great. My confidence is really up now that we're about to start the show. It's officially fall, and that means the holiday season is just around the corner, and with that is the release of Microsoft and Sony's next-generation consoles. Now, coming up in a bit, we're going to discuss which games really define the current gaming generation, because Sony has finally announced all the details on the release of that PS5. We have the release date, the cost, launch lineup, everything you need to know about the PS5 launch is where we're going to get today's show started. We told you last week about the big game of chicken between Microsoft and Sony finally coming to an end when Xbox announced the details about their next-gen Xbox Series X and S consoles. Well, Sony has responded, and in a big way, revealing their launch date, price, lineup of games available on launch, all after the big announcement pre-orders have already gone for this new console. Robbie, what did Sony show us with their new launch announcement?
All right, well, let's just cut right to the meat of this. Everything that you want to know, how much is the PlayStation 5 going to cost? Because there were some rumors early on that it could be as much as $700. Ooh. And even at $600, it might be a steal. But Sony has came out the gate and matched the Xbox Series X $500 for the regular version.
They waited for Xbox to announce first. And they were like, all right,
absolutely,
cool, whatever they're
100%.
Doing, do it.
So you think they waited until Xbox said what their price was? And they're like, pull the trigger. We're going for the $500 mark.
I think that, like, all right, if Xbox would have came out at, let's say, $600, Sony absolutely would have went for $600. However much they could get for
price,
it, I think they were going to get for it.
Okay.
Right? But at the very least, they had to match them. But in the one area that Xbox did actually win out is that diskless drive, the download-only one, the Xbox Series S is $299, but the diskless version of the PS5, $400. That's $100 more for what would be considered the cheaper version.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that tips anybody's... Because if the people that are going diskless to begin with are... Like, they seem to either be the people that are going for the cheaper version, right? Like, I think anybody who's, like, that much of a, I've got to have the physical collections of everything. They already made their mind up a long time ago.
But the reason that this doesn't bode well in the favor of Sony is anyone going for the diskless drive version is probably someone who's looking at a Game Pass type deal here.
Yeah, like a subscription service where you get all the games.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe it's a family that, a little bit lower class, doesn't have a lot of money to pump into it, but really wants to get something cool for the kids, this Christmas. $100 less for Microsoft, and you get something like Game Pass along with it. It's definitely, I think, for lower income households, an absolute knockout for Xbox.
Dude, it's like, especially Xbox is going all in on their Game Pass. Like, their Game Pass is only getting better as days go on. Mm-hmm. Earlier this week when they announced with the whole, like, Bethesda thing. Like, dude, it's...
Which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show.
We will, but I am just so... They made it so that getting a diskless version of the Xbox... Makes sense. I'm not.
It doesn't make you feel like you're going to miss out on anything.
Correct.
You're going to have access to all those games that you still want to play without having to go out and actually buying the physical copy of the games in stores. Mm-hmm.
PlayStation 5 releases on November 12th, 2 days after the Xbox does. But the big controversy that's happening now is pre-orders are already gone. Pre-orders were nearly gone before they even hit the internet.
See, I thought I heard the pre-orders were going before they even finished their online announcement.
Yeah, it was supposed to be that pre-orders would start the day after. Some of them went at midnight, but some places like Target and Walmart, like, just immediately were like, nope, go ahead, do it now. And because some people weren't prepared for it, a lot of like bots and like scammers and whatnot, the resale crowd scooped up as many of those pre-orders as they could. And there is one instance, this is a report I believe by CNET, that one PS5 sold on eBay, sorry, not even a PS5, One PS5 pre-order.
That's how they do it.
Sold for $25,000.
Come on, $25K?
$25,000.
That buys you a new car.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think a lot of that though is the trolls coming out to give fake like super high biddings and everything.
I mean,
like
maybe.
That.
Okay. Maybe, but there are still some that are selling for $1,000-$2,000. Sony has promised that there will be more pre-orders. They're like, well, look, we know we screwed up, and you know, going forward, there'll be more pre-orders. There'll be you know some sort of authentication involved in it, so that way, maybe like you have to have a PlayStation like network account in order to do it. So that way, it's at least one more step that the bots at least can't you know trawl through there and scoop stuff up. So
you don't think like PlayStation's like, okay, child laborers, get wicked, get making more PlayStations. We need more PS5s.
I mean, that might also be it too. Oh, who man. Knows? Allegedly, but there was also a lot turn. Of great games that were announced. We'll talk about those here in just a second.
We now know when and how much the new PS5 console will cost at launch. We also found out which games will be available on launch date. Which game announcement caught Robbie Landis by surprise?
Oh, a big one.
We're going to talk about that in just a moment, because now it's time for this.
Time is up. Oh, my God.
Checkpoint XP's Close Shave. Watch it at checkpointxp.com.
Our Close Shave of the Week is coming to us from over the weekend. The ESL Pro League took place for Season 12, and a barn burner of a match between Gen G and Liquid took place that saw a wild pistol ace from NAF. Liquid would go on to win 2-0 over Gen G, but let's take a listen as NAF kills every single opponent on the other team by himself with only a pistol.
Can't believe this, Bentet. Too many angles. He's got one. NAF.
The ace.
One shot away. 23 HP. He could do this. Bentet makes
watch
it
the dunk, Lauren. I'm calling it.
Yeah, the nade's there. Ooh. NAF backs away. He's got himself an AK.
Did he plant front or back?
One more.
Back.
Back plant. Flash comes in. Bentet. Oh my god, this is so precarious. Molly now. NAF could be forcing the fight. Bentet, he's done it! He's only gone and bloody done it! 5 kills!
Oh,
four! With the USPS. No armor. Nothing.
Are we doing the power plays today,
Jeff? We are. It's Sunday.
Oh, baby. Oh. So, submission number one to our power plays, please.
Wrap it up. It's done. That one's a winner.
Congrats to NAF and Team Liquid for that clutch play. That guy was rolling in like John Wick. Wow.
Bah, 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 bah.
Pow, everybody's dead. Now, remember, if you ever miss that Close Shave of the Week, you can always find them posted over at checkpointxp.com.
Never miss anything again.
No way.
Stay on top of your game by heading to checkpointxp.com to get in the game.
We just talked about what we learned about the PS5 after the launch announcement last week. So we know when and how much the new PS5 console will cost at launch, but which games will be available on launch date? And more importantly, which game caught Robbie Landis by surprise?
Well, it's first. We'll start with the games that are going to be at launch. You know, the games that are going to be worth it at launch. So first of all, Spider-Man Miles Morales, which isn't quite a follow-up to Spider-Man the PS4. They said it is a standalone game, but it's been done by the same people. And as good as the first game is, this one with Miles looks absolutely stunning.
I need to break in. This was the thing that, like, when you watched it, right, you were like, I cannot imagine this game on a previous generation.
But apparently, like, it is. It's going to be on PS4 as well.
It looks so freaking good.
Really?
You have no, like, it buttery smooth, and I couldn't tell the difference between what parts were gameplay and what parts were like cinematic.
Oh, wow.
Like,
because it was a mix of the two of them.
Oh, so good.
We're also getting a special edition of Devil May Cry 5. We're getting the Demon's Souls remake, and this is probably the only one on here that is going to be PS5 only at launch. And that is the new Godfall game from Gearbox Software.
Godfall looks cool. Mm-hmm. I think, like, just overall, though, this entire selection of games really... PlayStation knows who their audience is.
Absolutely.
Those ones are the target kind of, like, bullseye of who you're talking to when you talk to PS5, like, people that are going to be buying the game.
We also got a teaser. Didn't get to see anything, which is a short teaser, but... God of War 5. Well, we don't know if it's a new game or, again, if it's going to be more of like an expansion, but God of War 5 or whatever's next in the God of War franchise called Ragnarok is coming. That is on its way. So people are hyped for that. We also got the first look at the first AAA Harry Potter game ever, Hogwarts Legacy. There's a lot of, you know, there's some controversy behind that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in our news section coming up on the show. But the thing that got me, this is the first thing out the gate. No,
it was so good.
I don't care who said they saw this coming. No one saw this coming because there hasn't even been rumors. There's been no leaks. There's nothing.
Nothing.
And with Final Fantasy VII having just come out and still coming out because it's like a multi-part game. I'm like, there's no way they're going to even try and touch this for like probably 10 years because the last one was in development for, I think, 15 years, but we're getting it. They had a full-on trailer for Final Fantasy 16.
Woo! It was so good. It was so good.
I have to say, there are a few things I'm still a little apprehensive about. It still seems like it's all humans, which, you know, Final Fantasy, it's a fantasy game. There should be, like, elves and dwarves or, like, you know, blue cat people, right? That's what we come to expect from it. But also, didn't see a whole lot of women in the trailer either, which, you know, at least right now is a little bit of a disappointment because the last one was basically, like, Final Fantasy boy band simulator. But it is a lot darker. It looks like they're taking more of a return to sort of the dark storytelling route. There's one scene in the trailer where, like, some dude gets decapitated and the blood, like, splatters on, like, some kid's face.
And it's crazy because, like, to bring you into the Final Fantasy world, like, you have to remember the past couple... It's not like they've been violence-free, but they're very, like...
I was going to say, Final Fantasy is not known for its blood and gore.
Yeah, like...
Not for blood and gore, but it has always had a mature sort of theme and, like, story to it, right?
But this was gnarly. Like, this was, like... dark and some.
I feel like Weirdbeard's more excited about it than what Robbie was.
This is like some Game of Thrones like level stuff in this trailer.
Robbie likes Final Fantasy, like the MMO Final Fantasies and stuff. He's played those.
It's the old school Final Fantasies I was into.
Now, with the release of both Sony and Microsoft's next gen consoles just around the corner, you may be asking yourself, which one should I buy? Well, we'll talk about which console the Checkpoint XP crew is probably spending their money on and letting you chime in with your thoughts too. We'll be taking your calls at 1-833-557-0974 in just a bit, because ahead next, we are talking about which games really define the current gaming generation. Did your favorite title make the list? And also, which bizarre title does Weirdbeard think will define the generation? We'll find out next on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
With continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness around.
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. You're listening to me, James Campbell, as well as Weirdbeard, and the in-game leader, I assume, of the Checkpoint XP Apex Legends Tournament Champion Team, Mr. Robbie Landis.
Now look, this is usually the point where I would take all of the credit, but I have to admit, actually, and we'll talk about it a little bit more here coming up in this segment, it was actually pretty even, I think, between me, Weirdbeard, and Bill. Nobody carried anything like that. Wow. We all put in, you know, the same amount of effort, the same amount of success, and call-outs and stuff. So
who had the most kills? I want to know that.
Honestly, it was probably pretty even because most matches we each had like one or two.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Pretty even. You agree with that, Weirdbeard?
We're not calling anybody out. It's not about it's not about how the cake was made.
It seems like there's a bit of a gentleman's agreement. Everybody's equal. We're all equal partners.
I can go and find out if you want.
No, it's okay. Well, congratulations to you guys and your big tournament win. I'm happy to hear that I'm sitting here in a room with a bunch of legitimate Apex legends.
Apex Predator is the correct term.
Well, thank you for the correction. The release of both Sony and Microsoft's next-gen consoles are just around the corner, which means the next generation of consoles, obviously, is upon us. But before we jump into all the new, exciting games and features to look forward to, we wanted to take a moment to discuss which games really define the current generation. We also want to hear from you on this topic as well. Give us a call at 1-833-557-0974 and let us know which games you think helped define the generation and why. We'll get to your calls a bit later in the show, because right now, Robbie, I think you have some highlights about what you think the generation was.
Yeah, so this article actually came to us courtesy of Eurogamer.net. Obviously, it's something that I think is on everyone's mind as we transition from the PS4 and the Xbox One into the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S generation. So I thought we'd go over the list and kind of give our own thoughts on how we think these games help to define this generation. And at number 10, they have The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
I mean, it was big. You want to know why I actually have never played The Witcher 3? Because I didn't have a gaming PC. I just had my MacBook laptop.
Womp, womp. Did you have a console?
No. And I bought it on Steam, and I was like super like, I think I can do this. And let me buy it. So I bought it, and my laptop couldn't run it.
Oh,
so
that's too bad. I actually haven't played it, but that's only because The Witcher 1 and Witcher 2 were a little bit rough when it came to games. They didn't age very well, right?
Okay.
And for me, I feel like, especially in this case, when games, you know, have like a clear lineage, I have to play them. I don't care if you can jump into The Witcher 3 and, like, you know, it's a good jumping in point. I just have like an OCD.
You gotta know what's going on.
I gotta play
two.
1, 2, and 3. So that's the only reason I haven't. But I mean, I think it deserves a place on this list. I think that there's very few people who haven't played it. And if you haven't, you've heard of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard of it. And I mean, Netflix turned it into a series.
Boom.
So
exactly.
That right there.
And it's actually good.
And it's actually good. There we go.
Yep. At number 9, this is a game I haven't heard of, but I know that Weird Beard plays bad games, so he might. Threes? It's a puzzle game, apparently.
It's a bad game you've been playing, Weirdbeard?
Probably. Let me... Threes?
All right, for me, it looks like it incorporates math.
Jason Schreier, who worked at Kotaku for a while, as I believe it was their editor, he says, puzzle perfection. I have probably spent more time playing Threes than any other game in my life.
Oh, I've played a ton of this, but I've played it on my iPhone. So it's the one where you have the boxes and you can... So it's like, if you add the one and a one together, it makes a two
box. Do you
box.
Think that this is generation defining? I've never even heard of it.
It's like Sudoku for...
I don't care what it's like. Is it generation defining?
Probably not.
I feel like I disagree with this one,
right,
too.
At number 8, we have Nier Automata.
Nier is great. But it was so good.
It was. But generation defining?
I would say as far as RPG stuff, yes.
I don't know. I think this is still pretty niche, especially with the amount of inspiration it draws from, like, anime-type stuff.
What would you say that this game brings to this generation, Weirdbeard?
I would say that it's, like, before fantasy games used to just kind of be so, like, spells.
If you blow yourself up, your main character is, like, a hot chick who has, like, a skirt on. If you blow her up, she doesn't have a skirt anymore, and you can see her thong.
Ooh, wow.
Yes.
That is generation defining.
I just sold James on it.
Yeah. Well, my new favorite game.
All right, at number 7, Slay the Spire.
So good.
Not a trading card game. It's a deck building game.
Correct. It's a roguelike deck builder.
Now,
it's akin to like Monster Train. Oh,
I know
good.
That this is very, very popular. Yes. I don't know that it's helped to define the generation as a whole, but I know that it has gone very far, at least in the card battling game
but
genre.
But I would say that it's taken deck building games because you now have a whole subgenre of games that have essentially spiraled off
of
that.
So would this be like a game like Hearthstone?
Kind of, a little bit.
A little, yeah.
Whereas in Hearthstone, though, you actually collect and then build your deck.
Yes.
You build your deck through gameplay.
Correct.
In Slay the Spire.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
At number 6, we have Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. This probably deserves to be in there.
Any Uncharted game, I think. It's the movie series of video games.
Yeah, pretty much. Titanfall 2. I never played a lot of the Titanfalls, but I know that they have a very rabid following.
I love the Titanfall games.
Why do you
Titanfall
not love Apex Titanfall Legends 2? Then?
Because it's the ammo is what throws me off, trying to figure out which guns and which ammo I need.
It's all color coordinated. We're going to, you know what? We're going to bring him in on a stream one of the days. We're going to teach him. We're going to get you good at Apex.
Easy.
Well, I don't know about good, but we're going to teach you.
How dare you.
At number 4, Kentucky Route Zero.
Pass.
So what's this game all about?
It's like, this is the one, the KFC game.
Come on, this is for real? A KFC game?
All right. Chris Plant said that releasing episodes across this decade, Kentucky Route Zero presented a prescient critique of the United States in decline. This is a very indie game.
Let's say this sounds like an artsy fartsy, hipster
game. I don't know that we can say that this
just
helped to define anything in the generation. Number 3, we have The Outer Wilds. This is one that I kind of skipped. This kind of went under my radar.
It would
here.
Be right up your alley.
Probably. I played a little bit, like a demo of it at, I think it was PAX East. All right, this one I definitely agree with. Bloodborne. There is not a term that I think has sort of weaseled its way into our vocabulary more than Souls-esque.
Yep.
When talking about how hard games are being made now. I think any of, whether it was Bloodborne, Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, whatever, I think any of those you could have put in for this. But 2 seems a little high, but I think it should definitely be in there. And this final one, Legend of Zelda, The Breath of the Wild. Now, the only reason I feel weird having this on here is this was technically a Wii U game.
No, I think it got it got ported to the Wii U. It was launched on the Switch. Absolutely. I will fight you to the death over this one. Don't you dare besmirch.
I've played a lot of Legend of the Zeldas. I've liked a lot of them. I played about 30 minutes of Breath of the Wild.
Really?
I was not into it.
No? What put you off so much?
It was mostly the inventory management and the idea that, like, weapons could break. Like, even the Master Sword, if it broke,
the Master Sword?
You had to go and, like, get it fixed. Yeah, it was too much emphasis on the idea of inventory management. Was not a fan.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But, that's the majority of their list here. Just a few of their, like, their honorable mentions. Apex Legends, Celeste, Clash Royale, Destiny, Fortnite, that actually deserved a place, I think.
I feel like Fortnite's been so huge on this generation of consoles. It would blow my mind that it's not on a list.
Yep. God of War is on there as well. No Man's Sky, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Pokemon Go. A few of these probably should have made it up into the main article. But there you go. And a little bit later in the show, you'll get our answers as well as some of your answers.
That's true. And so there you have it. There's a list of some of the games that helped define this generation of consoles. But keep in mind, we want to talk to you about what you think deserves to be on this list. Give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. Let us know which games you think helped define this generation and why. We'll get your calls in just a little bit. But now it's time for this.
From the high highs,
an absolute monster,
to the low lows,
there you go, four more.
Who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
All right, we're going to start things off with the Nailed It this week. And this week, the Nailed It goes out to the Apex Legend Checkpoint XP team right here in the room. It's going out to our very own Robbie Landis and Weird Beater for taking first place in an Apex Legends tournament.
Now, I would just like to point out, too, that it was actually a close one. I think we were always in the top three, but going into round four out of five rounds, we were tied. We were tied with, what were they called?
Buff neck daddies.
We were tied with buff neck daddies, and here's the thing: they had been getting more kills than us, but we had been placing a little bit high. Well, actually, no, because they had a few first place and second places too.
Yes.
So we were a little nervous going into that last round because we knew that they were probably going to get more kills than us.
Yeah.
And if they also got first place in their round, and we got first place in our round, they'd have beat us because they had more kills. So we were hoping beyond hope that, A, we would get the win, which we did. I got the final kill. And then just hoping like that they wouldn't. And when they posted their screenshot, they had more kills than us. They had second place. So we're like,
it was a nail biter.
It was a nail biter. Ooh. Because placement gave you more points than your kill ranking did.
Okay.
Right? So we're like, oh, let's just hope. Let's just hope. And I think we might have been the bottom for kill ranking because all the other teams, no matter where they placed, had more kills than us.
Long story short, you can't mess with us. We had one guy, the other guy on our team got a babysitter and he had migraines the entire time.
He did. That's right. Bill had a migraine through the whole thing. And we didn't say until at the end. He's like, man, I've been dealing with a migraine this whole time.
Whew. Like, it felt good. Like, you don't know the rush of, like, just, we placed top two in every single match, and we sat there and we'd post it and we'd be like, all right, I don't know how this is going to go. And then all of a sudden we'd see people coming in at like 11th or 9th.
But there was a 7th place. I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah, we were like, ooh, yeah, nice. You suck. Yeah.
There was one now, Buff Neck Daddy. I think they had like 9 kills between like their whole squad.
And there's no bots or anything in Apex, right? It's all real people.
It was supposed to be a private lobby where we would have been playing against the other teams, but because they couldn't get one, instead what it was is everyone just queued up at the same time in a public lobby.
Okay, yeah.
Posted what your winning screen was, and based on your kills and your placement, they would determine what the points were. There were a lot of sore losers. They're like, I don't get how this point system is working.
Yeah, sorry. Get good, scrubs.
Oh, no, it's Weird Beard. Got the pull quote of the show. You can't mess with us.
That's right. You know what, James?
I'm scared now. I don't want to mess with you guys at the Apex. Coming up each week, it seems there's more and more streamer drama surfacing online. We'll talk about what massively popular streamer Ninja was complaining about having to spend money on because of his streams in a bit. Because ahead next, Microsoft makes a huge announcement. Dude, they spent $7.5 billion. Who did Microsoft just buy, and how could this affect the gaming world?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We'll talk about that when Checkpoint XP returns.
Stop blowing my mind!
We're rolling with continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness around!
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. I'm James Campbell. Along with me is Robbie Landis and Checkpoint XP's official keeper of the hot sauces, Weird Beard.
I am a man of taste when it comes to hot sauce.
Literally.
Yes, actually, after we went and did that game last week, I went home and ordered another $20 worth of hot specialty hot sauces,
You need to send me that link. I actually want to try and do the little date night hot sauces with Katie, my girlfriend at home. I do not think she would take it very well, though.
It's going to get spicy at the Robbie house. Microsoft announces a huge acquisition just a couple of months before they are set to launch two new next-generation consoles. Now, this $7.5 billion deal will help strengthen Microsoft's Xbox lineup ahead of the launch of the Xbox Series X and Series S in November by giving it control of some of the game industry's most popular franchises. Robbie, can you explain what exactly happened here?
Yeah, so the big deal is again, what you're seeing probably around, you know, online on social media is that Microsoft bought out Bethesda Studios, who are the minds behind the Skyrim, you know, the Elder Scrolls series, the Fallout series,
Doom,
Wolfenstein, tons and tons of games. But they
huge
didn't,
titles.
They didn't just buy Bethesda. They actually bought Bethesda's parent company, which is ZeniMax Media, and that actually has been beneath it, like six or seven total game development studios.
Wow.
Arkane Studios is another one, just to name it. In fact, they now own the studio that's releasing a PlayStation 5 exclusive, which is Deathloop. Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, has came out and said that those timed exclusives will stay exclusive to the PlayStation 5. And I think where a lot of people now are wondering is, you know, these big games like Fallout and The Elder Scrolls, are those going to be Xbox exclusive?
You read
now.
My mind. That's exactly what I was wondering.
So Phil Spencer has said that the exclusivity for the games as they come out will be on a case-by-case basis.
Oh, okay.
But he also did say that, you know, it is Microsoft's mission when it comes to gaming. You know, gaming is enjoyed by 3 billion people all over the world, and he said it is their mission to make sure that people are able to play the games that they love where they want, when they want. So maybe they'll still be on PlayStation. At the very least, you're still going to be able to get them on PC, as with all of Microsoft's games. But it's definitely, this was a big surprise announcement. I mean, there were no rumors, no leaks of this. It just hit, and literally everyone was stunned by it.
We have a caller on the line who wants to give us your thoughts on the deal. Hey, Lloyd, what do you think about Microsoft buying up ZeniMax?
I just think it's a trend that's been happening lately in the gaming industry where, like, bigger companies are just consolidating smaller companies in a monopolistic way, which isn't really good for the consumer in the long run. It might seem good for people now with the Game Pass, but I don't see this actually working out in the consumer in the long run.
So what are you afraid is going to happen then? Because like you said, with Game Pass, this essentially has a chance of putting this game into more people's hands without them having to drop $60 or, in the next generation, $70 per game.
Well, for Microsoft and ZeniMax alone, like, it's a good thing. But if you start seeing this trend of other gaming companies, let's say, like, right now on Twitter, it's trending with Konami and Sony. People want Konami bought by Sony. In the long run, I don't want the big three owning 90% of the pie.
I mean, I suppose that's fair. I mean, we've also seen it happen with a lot of them. You know, Activision Blizzard, after 10 years, is finally starting to crumble. BioWare, after being bought up by EA, you know, we saw kind of went down the crapper. But I don't know that that's necessarily has to do with them specifically being bought up by big companies or just, you know, down the line. I mean, eventually everyone falls, right?
I think the big question here is, does this change how you feel about Microsoft or Sony at all?
Well, to be perfectly honest, it, like, people keep on saying, like, EA is the worst of it. But, like, we've seen the same thing happen with Rare and Microsoft. They shelved most of those games. Or with, like, Banjo-Kazooie, they destroyed it, pretty much.
All right, Lloyd, thanks so much for your call. Keep in mind, if you ever want to reach out to us, you can give us a call as well at 1-833-557-0974. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. Now that we have all the details on both next-gen consoles for Microsoft and Sony, the only thing left to do is decide which team you're on. We want to talk to you. Give us a call at 1-833-557-0974 and let us know which console you're planning on picking up and why. Keep in mind, you can always call and ask any question you feel like the experts here at Checkpoint XP should be able to answer. Now, we've given our thoughts on which consoles we're buying already, so everybody already knows that. So we're going straight to the phone lines. I'm going to talk to you to find out what you are going to be buying.
Well, I think the Xbox is pretty much locked for me. I mean, I've already been pretty locked into the Xbox ecosystem for the past two generations, so they have a much lower barrier to overcome than PlayStation does. And for that, you know, the whole $25, $35 a month thing makes it an easy, easy decision, since I'd be paying most of that per month just for gold or Game Pass Ultimate now. Anyways, as for PlayStation,
so
it didn't really impress me.
What?
Hold on, Rick. We are obviously dealing with you know, an Xbox fan. Like I said, he's been part of the ecosystem for a while now.
He's an Xbox boy like me.
That's right. All right. So, are there no games that are coming out of PlayStation that you're concerned about never being able to play? You know, the new God of War, Spider-Man Miles Morales, the Horizon Zero Dawn franchise, Final Fantasy 16.
I picked up a PS4 from an acquaintance for literally $100. I can play Miles Morales on that. FF16, I'm interested in. If I buy a PS5, it's literally just going to be for that. But it's going to come out on PC. I have a pretty good desktop. So the other PlayStation exclusives don't really convince me.
All right, Nadia's joining us on the phone lines here. Nadia, you want to let us know what you plan on buying, the Xbox Series X or S or the new PlayStation 5? What are you going for?
So I was one of the lucky ones. I was able to get a pre-order in at the last minute.
Hold on. Who did you murder to be able to get on that list?
You got
to
know somebody, right?
So I cheated. I followed Wario64 on Twitter and set up the notifications. And as soon as he said that Target reopened their inventory, I snagged one and they were out in one more minute.
So, wow. Yeah. So what was the decision that made you go with the PlayStation over the Xbox?
Honestly, it was the game. You know, it's the games. I mean, if I change my mind, I've got a good gaming PC, so I can always use the Game Pass if I want to and play any of the Xbox games on my PC.
What is the one game?
But I gotta get those PlayStation exclusives, right?
What was the one game? What's the one PlayStation exclusive game that really sold you on getting the PS5?
Miles Morales, hands down. I got to play that game.
On the PS5 announcement where they showed that new trailer of it, it looks freaking gorgeous.
Amazing. It looks absolutely amazing. Although now with that with the Bethesda announcement, I don't know, man.
Coming up, need a super cheap but also fun gaming recommendation to play? Maybe to help fill some time while you're waiting for that next-gen console of your dreams to be released? Well, stick around for the free game of the week coming up in just a bit, because next, more streamer drama surfacing online. What is massively popular streamer Ninja complaining about? We'll let you know next on Checkpoint XP.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. Overwatch League is drawing towards its exciting finale this year. In a year marred by COVID-19, the best teams in the world will be making their way to South Korea for the finals. Teams that qualify will need to quarantine for 2 weeks before being allowed to compete at the beginning of October. The LCS Summer Split has drawn to a close, and with teams now qualified, we are officially on the road to Worlds. This year's event will be taking place in a bubble in Shanghai as teams from all over the world will remain in quarantine throughout the month of October. Vietnam has elected not to participate. ESL Season 12 is officially kicked off in Counter-Strike Global Offensive. All matches this season will be played online due to ongoing concerns with, you guessed it, COVID-19. Qualifiers for the RLCS X Fall Major will be going on throughout the month of September. No word yet on when the Fall Major itself will take place. The November 6th Siege Major has been replaced by a regional competition that will be held online. North American competition starts November 13th. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the way...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
In the world of esports, check out our website at CheckpointXP.com.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're hanging with Weirdbeard, Robbie Landis, and someone who has no regrets for pre-ordering WWE 2K Battlegrounds. Me, James Cameron.
Wait, isn't that the one where all the wrestlers look like Bratz dolls?
Yes.
Oh,
and it's
no!
Awesome!
James!
The game is a lot of fun, especially compared to the WWE 2K20 game.
All right, that
game
that's fair.
Was a disaster.
That's fair. Literally anything that they could have put out after that should do a whole lot better than it.
Yeah, well, this game is, obviously, so the characters look like Bratz dolls, as you described it, but to me, they're cartoony, they're caricatures of themselves, but it's like an NBA Jam version of like a fighting game, and I find it very enjoyable.
This is like when young boys get caught playing with dolls, and they're like, excuse me, they're action figures. Like, I don't know about that, buddy.
Okay, yeah, so I like to play with action figures or dolls. It's starting to get pretty commonplace to hear some big-name streamers airing bits of their personal drama on stream, at least these past few weeks. Well, Checkpoint XP's aspiring king of gamer gossip, Weirdbeard, has all the details on the juiciest stories. Weirdbeard, was someone really on stream complaining about having to pay taxes on their Twitch earnings? Come on.
Absolutely, and you'll never guess who it is.
Oh, I bet we will.
It's my boy Ninja.
Come on!
Might I also add, he's one of the Detroit Lions' biggest fans, and that just shows exactly how far his logic goes when thinking about things. Ninja was on stream talking about how he... You know what? We're just going to play the clip. It's him talking about how he didn't know he had to pay taxes, and he's mad about it.
Oh, come on.
But you know, when I was 18, I mean, dude, I didn't even know how to do my taxes when I graduated high school, man.
To be fair, nobody does.
Yeah.
Woohoo! It's playing Fall Guys, by the way.
Yeah, I figured.
Let alone how much money I have to pay in taxes at this point now.
I'm sorry, do you want us to feel sorry for you?
Well, here's the thing. He's probably never had a real job.
I don't think people will understand, and this is like, I mean, people are going to take this the wrong way.
Absolutely!
Yeah. I'd like to know what the right way is.
He sent us up.
I understand that having money pretty much is the number one comment people are going to say about what I'm about to say.
Well, at least you have money.
How much it blows if you make, let's say, $50 million, that $25 million of that literally gone in taxes?
That's how it works, bud.
You still have $25 million.
I really want people to try to actually picture working your ass off for a shitload of money. Let's just keep using $50 million, because I think that's a pretty solid number, right? And then the government is just like, hey, we're going to take $25 million of that.
Okay, that's literally how taxes work.
But you still have $25 million!
And on top of that, what I want to say is, Ninja saying, you work your ass off, you make $50 million. I think people who work convenience store jobs
work their asses off. And let me tell you, Ninja, that you don't work any harder than any of the other millions of streamers out there who are also trying to make it. This guy on my list, this guy only gets shittier. I'm sorry. Oh my God.
I don't know. Like, I don't want to rile Robbie up too much.
Oh my God.
Too late. So we will play one other one. I I follow also the CEO of 100 Thieves, which is a big esports organization, Nade Shot.
I'm lightheaded over here. I'm fuming, man.
Do you need somebody to come over there and give you mouth to mouth?
No, I'm fine.
You can call down the hallway and see if anybody's available.
So Nade Shot was competing in the VicStar Call of Duty Warzone tournament. It was a $100,000 Warzone tournament that happened last week.
Does he know he's going to have to pay like $50,000 in taxes if he wins? Ninja tell him that?
Ninja did not, but the big thing is there's been drama because he was playing with Dr. Disrespect. Now, while Dr. Disrespect is still banned on Twitch, Dr. Disrespect was on YouTube streaming. Nade Shot was on Twitch, and the only thing that you got on Twitch of Dr. Disrespect was his voice and comms. This is how Nade Shot responded to possibly having his account banned for just playing with the doc.
Man, Twitch really gonna ban me for talking to Doc in game? Ah, come on, bro.
Battle Royale. Be advised, gas is closing in.
What are you gonna do? To the safe zone. I'll tell you what, man. They banned me. I've been on here since Justin TV. They gotta make a decision there. No respect. No respect.
So Z, just land on Nade Shot. Just land on him, and then I'll kind of confuse him too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's right here, though, right? Because if you were to start banning for that reason, these are guys that aren't going to stop streaming, right? Mm-hmm. And these are guys that stream with all the other streamers. So whereas right now you have Doc popping up here and there on streams. All right, fine. You know what? You ban Nade Shot too. Let's say, I realize he just got back, but let's say we ban Ninja as well. Well, Ninja's still going to show up on Tim the Tatman stream. He's going to show up on XQC stream. You're going to start banning them now? They're still going to show up on... I mean, at that point, it's just an avalanche.
Twitch has no leg to stand on until they give an official response on why they banned Dr. Disrespect.
Here's the thing.
If they give it, then I understand if they want to ban him completely, but if they just want to mealy-mouth
it... This is not enforceable, right? Ban people for when they do something stupid. Don't tell us, whatever. But if their voices then show up on other platforms, or even if they show up on other people's streams, they're not making money off of the platform, so just let it go at that point.
Gaming on a budget? We've got a game for free.
$3.99!
Checkpoint XP's free game of the week.
Checkpoint XP has you covered with the free game of the week. This week's free game of the week is actually brand spanking new, and it might actually give Realm Royale a run for its money. I'm excited to hear about it.
It's Spellbreak, and you can download it right now.
The world was broken. Fractured by the magic the Vowkeepers said they would protect us from. Spellstorms still rage across the ruins of the Hollowlands. This is proof, they said. It isn't safe. It can't be controlled. Magic cannot be used.
So the best thing I think about Spellbreak is Fortnite has all the guns and all the craziness, and it's like about
how guns and building
and all that kind of stuff.
Property Brothers, yeah.
This one is Fortnite with magic. So instead of guns, you go around collecting spells and you throw them at your opponents. And after you kill your opponents, you can like loot their spells that they drop and stuff.
So
like
you open up chests like you would any other like a battle royale game. So you can open up a chest and you find a spell.
Yes,
that's a spell you're going to use.
And it's cool because you know. There are skins and stuff in it, so it's the same aspect of Fortnite as, like, if you want to go all in and spend a bunch of money on it, you can.
Yeah.
But if you just want to play the game and unlock some of the, like, free skins, you can, and it's free! So it's, like, it's, I don't know, it's really, really good. You get to choose, like, there's different classes. So there's, like, a Frostborn who does all frost spells, or you can do a Toxicologist, which is all, like, poisoning your enemies and
so,
stuff
hold on,
like that.
If you pick up spells out of chests, how do the classes play into that?
It's
then.
A what you start with, you know what I mean? So you start with a base spell so that you don't just drop, you know, totally naked. But then it's also like you have different bonuses. So it's like if you're one of the toxicologists, you are the one that has all the poison spells.
So if you find a poison spell that's going to do
damage. It's probably stronger for you than it would be for the frost
maker. Correct. Yeah, so the frost guy finds a toxicology spell, he can still use it, but it won't be as effective for that character.
Yeah, but you can also blend them together. So it's like if you have an electric spell and the poison gas spell, you can have an electrified gas cloud that poisons people out and everything.
What?
It's cool.
What?
And like
that right there sounds awesome.
I think, you know, the land is cool. The art style is cool. It's kind of cartoony, but it's not as cartoony as Fortnite.
I love the cartoony, whimsical, like looking
landscape. It looks a lot like Realm Royale. And like I said, it's free. It looks like they're going to be investing a lot of time into like just updating the world and updating the plays. And it's one of the ones that I see streamed all the time on Twitch right now. So if you're looking to pick up and you think you've missed the Fortnite train, this just may be up your alley, I think. What else do I have to do to sell you on this, James?
I don't know. I think I'm definitely interested in checking it out. I just, can you find me more time in my free life, in my life to actually play the game?
Yes, especially because these games take anywhere from 8 to 15 minutes.
Oh, nice.
So, you
know
what?
Short rounds.
You want to get one little game in before bed. Yeah. I think you'd be able to squeeze it.
All right. There's your free game of the week, Spellbreak. You can play it on all major consoles. Now, if you're looking for another good game recommendation, something that's easy to get into and well worth the time, we do have our Patient Gamer segment coming up in the next hour. But coming up next, last week, Robbie Landis held on to the Checkpoint XP crown, even when faced with a fiery distraction of Weird Beard's hot sauce curveball. Can Robbie hold on to his title again when faced with knowledge of Mario? We'll find out when Checkpoint XP returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo! He's unbelievable!
Nico is on fire!
Oh my goodness, how does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You've got me, James Campbell, and joining me are Weird Beard. And when he's not producing content for the Owl's Nest and the other identity, he's casting Overwatch matches with the names of esports players like Dante. It's Robbie Landis.
Hey, it's me.
Robbie is a talented man who is constantly in high demand from the people and powers that be to do more work for them. Even though they're not paying you, it must feel good that people are still calling you to get you to do stuff.
At least I know that, you know, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon.
You can understand his confidence and his arrogance when all those people keep calling and ringing his phone.
Are you a better caster for Overwatch or player for Overwatch?
They're both debatable, honestly.
Well, finally, one thing Robbie is not 100% certain he's the best at.
All right.
All right, in honor of the 35th anniversary of Mario, this week's game will see if anyone on the Checkpoint XP crew can dethrone Robbie Landis in a game that will really put our knowledge of everyone's favorite mustached plumber, Mario, to the test. Now, we do have Checkpoint XP producer Callie sitting in to help us play. Weird Beard, can you explain this one?
Yes, so we are in the midst of a Mario Renaissance. The 35th anniversary of Mario is happening, and to celebrate, Nintendo...
Can you really call it a Renaissance? Like, I feel like Renaissance is supposed to be like reinvention. They're just re-releasing everything.
But it's because it's so good. So they just released Mario 3D All-Stars, which had Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy 1, because nobody likes Mario Galaxy 2, apparently. We are going to be doing a Mario quiz. Does anybody want to do a Mario impression real quick?
Nope.
I heard Robbie does a really good one.
Nope. Nobody wants to hear any of
it's
that.
It's-a me. No. Okay.
What was that?
First question. All we're going to be doing is I'll go around the room and ask everybody questions so everybody gets separate ones. So no fear. James, are you ready for your first one?
Can we steal if they get it wrong?
No, just they suck. They get it wrong.
Uh-huh. Well, you can't steal my points, Robbie.
James.
Yes.
Excluding thumbs, how many fingers does Mario have? 6? 7, because he lost one in a plumbing mishap. 8, or he doesn't possess individual digits.
So no thumbs. I think 6.
Incorrect.
Ooh, wow.
8.
Wow, they gave Mario all 5 fingers.
Correct, and it's because you're probably thinking of Mickey Mouse, who only has 3 on each hand. Mm. Callie, are you ready?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I wouldn't have gotten that first question right, so now I'm worried.
I would have.
You're gonna get this one. What was Mario's original name in the arcade game Donkey Kong? Was it Paul, Jumpman, Barrelman, or the Plumber?
Jumpman.
Jumpman is correct. So Callie has 1, James has 9.
On the board with the point.
Robbie TBD. Robbie, Mario has a wide range of interests and talents, but which of the following has he not portrayed in a video game to date? Is it a carpenter, a golfer, a sommelier, or an umpire?
What's a sommelier?
I can't give it to you. I know what it is, but I can't give
all
it
right,
to you.
All right, I'm going to say carpenter.
I...
Nope, that's right. No, hold on. It's a sommelier. He has been a carpenter in the Mario Maker games.
There you go. Sommelier is somebody who makes you smell and taste wine and everything like that. So they're a wine connoisseur. You're correct. That's the only thing he has not done to date. So James is the only person not on the board yet.
Oh, big surprise.
That all said, right. I want the game where he is a sommelier.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he's probably like been portrayed as like a waiter before. That's probably close enough. Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
James,
not according to sommeliers. No.
In the original Super Mario Brothers for NES, what color are Mario's dungarees? Blue, brown, red, or yellow?
Red.
You're correct. That is one. You're on the board.
Scared me there. I was like, wait, did I get the question wrong?
Next up, Callie.
Yeah.
When is Mario Day celebrated? The 10th of March, the 13th of September, the 23rd of September, or the 16th of November?
I believe it's March 10th.
You are correct. Do you know why?
It spells Mario. Mark 10. Yeah.
Mario, yeah. All right.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's
clever,
cool.
Yeah.
Robbie, according to his creator, how old is Mario supposed to be? His mid-20s, 36, 37, or his mid-40s?
Oh, boy.
This is a tough one because... Yeah. It could go like, oh, you know, he looks a little younger. Or it could be like, he's definitely a fat old man and could get away with it.
I feel like it's probably 36 or 37 because it's basically a toss at that point and you're just trying to, like, you know,
catch me up.
It's
also the age
here.
Where your mustache finally kind of grows into fruition, into you know?
You know what? I'm going to go for a Hail Mary here. I'm going to say 40s.
Incorrect. Mid-20s.
Wow.
That young?
Shigeru Miyamoto in 2005 said Mario was like 24 or 25 years old.
Okay, well, to be fair, it's 2020. Now he is 40.
No.
So point doesn't age. Yes.
He doesn't age.
Callie, whose side are you on here?
It's fair.
James, which of the following titles is not an official Mario game?
Oh, no.
Mario Clash, Mario Superstar Baseball, Mario Teaches Typing, or Mario versus Luigi?
Oh,
wow.
There's one on here that I'm a fan of because it's so bad, but yes.
Wow. What was the first one again?
Mario Clash.
Mario Clash. That doesn't ring a bell, but it seems like it could be a real title. And I feel like Mario probably could teach typing.
But has he is the question.
I don't know, could Robbie.
I know the answer.
He does have 10 fingers, so I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, so he can use a keyboard.
Yeah,
adequately.
People with less than 10 fingers can also type, Callie.
Really?
Well, can they type at the speed
that
Mavis Beacon would want you to type at?
Some of them might. Stop stalling. Okay. Answer the question.
Okay, I'm going to say Mario Clash is not a real game.
Okay, that one's wrong.
Yes.
Mario versus Luigi.
I think it's Mario versus Luigi, yeah.
Correct.
I thought they had that one where it was Mario versus Luigi where you're in the pipes.
That's just Mario Bros.
Yep.
Next up, Callie.
Right. Yes.
How many full retail Nintendo Switch games, current physical releases available right now, contain the word Mario in the title? Is it 7, 8, 9, or 10?
I actually thought it would have been even higher than that.
Yeah, I was sitting here in my head trying to go through it. Okay, so there's a Mario Kart. There's Super Smash Bros. Wouldn't count, right?
It's got to have Mario in the title.
Oh, my God. I think it's 9.
You're correct!
Wow.
New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, we don't
Games,
need all of them.
Mario
the next
there's a million.
Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle is really good. Next up, Robbie. This power-up was introduced in Super Mario Galaxy, but what is this Mario form called where he's tied up in a metal thing? Is it Bounce Mario, Coil Mario, Slinky Mario, or Spring Mario?
I've never played, so I don't know. let's go with... say it one more time for me.
Bounce Mario, Coil Mario, Slinky Mario, or Spring Mario?
I think it's... Spring or Bounce was the first one?
Yes.
Let's go with Bounce Mario.
Incorrect. Spring Mario. You were so close.
Almost had it, Robbie.
All right. This is a free-for-all one everybody here.
Oh, God.
You're able to answer as you see fit.
Oh, God.
What is the best-selling Mario game of all time? Is it New Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, or Super Mario World?
Super Mario Brothers 3 is my guess.
I
actually thought it would have been a Mario Kart.
I know. I had thought.
Give me them one more time.
New Super Mario Brothers on the Nintendo DS.
No, it's not that one.
Super Mario Bros. On the NES. Super Mario Bros. 3 on the NES. Or Super Mario World on the SNES.
I'm going to go purely with Super Mario Bros. On the SNES.
Okay.
Yeah, purely by cartridges moved, I feel like it would be that one. What was the fourth one?
It was the Super Mario World.
Super Mario...
Super Mario Brothers 3, original Super Mario Brothers, new Super Mario Brothers, or Super Mario World?
Wait, hold on. No, I'm going to go with new Super Mario Brothers, because that was also, wasn't that also on the Wii?
Yes.
It was. All right.
I feel like that did really, really well.
It did.
I'm going to go with that one.
I'll go with the original Super Mario Brothers, then.
The correct is Callie with the original Super Mario Brothers, with over 30 million sold.
Now, to be fair, how many of those were just to get Duck Hunt? I mean, come on. Let's talk about the real king of games here.
A lot of them. So does that put you in the lead?
I haven't gotten one wrong yet. So
for a week, the crown goes to Callie.
Callie, now our final checkpoint bonus round.
Oh, God.
Our extra hard Mario questions for Callie only. Are you ready?
Oh, God. All right.
In the Super Mario Sunshine game, Mario uses a tool called the Flood. What does Flood stand for?
I didn't play Sunshine. No idea. Pass.
All right. Mario uses the Flash Liquidizer Ultra Dousing Device, or Flood for short. In which game did Mario first encounter the Poison Mushroom?
The Poison Mushroom first came in Super Mario 2?
Incorrect. You're right. Never mind. It's called the Lost Levels, but it's really Super Mario 2. In which game did Mario first get sleepy and take a nap when the player was idle?
3.
Incorrect.
Oh.
64.
Really?
I'm a tired. Which is the first Super Mario game where Mario's hat can be blown off his head?
64.
64 is correct. And your last one in the original Super Mario Brothers game, Mario's iconic overalls weren't blue. They were...
I'm sorry, say again?
In the original Super Mario Brothers game, Mario's iconic overalls weren't blue. They were...
Like puke yellow green?
No, red. James already answered this question correct the first round.
Oh, I was thinking about the Game Boy game.
No, you're wrong. Anyways, Callie's still our champion. Congratulations, Callie.
Congratulations to Callie.
What an
honor. Super Mario Master.
From the high highs. An absolute monster. To the low lows. Who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
All right, you heard our Nailed It last hour about Robbie and Weirdbeard winning their first Apex tournament.
Woo!
But now it's time for the Failed It. Our Failed It comes from YouTube star Markiplier, who was out trying to hit the game Among Us for the first time. And as a traitor who was to deceive and kill everyone on board, he jumped into an air vent, something only the traitor can do, and popped up right in front of another player. The jig was up.
Ah, damn it. Nah, damn it. I got got.
You also trust what's going on.
Hi. What's going on?
I'm pretty sure I just saw Mark vent in front of me next to navigation.
What? Can you go in the vent?
I saw that little leg tuck animation right at the end of it when he bounced out of it, and then I ran straight to the button.
Are we voting for Mark? Right?
Wait, no, don't vote me. I haven't even said my piece.
Oh. Okay, defend yourself. You have 5 seconds.
All right,
defend venting.
I don't know how to do it.
All right, well, better luck next time, Markiplier. Don't forget, if you ever miss a Nailed It and Failed It, you can always find them posted over at CheckpointXP.com. Coming up, we asked on social media over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook what video game defined the last generation of gaming for you. Give us a call at 1-833-557-0974 and let us know, or respond to us on social media. We'll be discussing your answers in a little bit, because ahead next, we're checking the gaming headlines. Robbie, what do you have in store for us?
Is it true that a AAA developer changed the name of their game because of an energy drink company?
Ooh.
Maybe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, that and more, all next on Checkpoint XP.
Broadcasting from the Beasley Media Studios, esports and video games live here.
Oh my God!
Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Weirdbeard, Robbie Landis, and somebody that is very, very curious about what in the heck is VTubing. Me, James Campbell.
You have got to get into VTubing.
All right, hold on. Before you answer, what do you think VTubing is?
Well, somebody has explained it to me. It's like a virtual person on YouTube. So it would be like me doing a YouTube show, but it would be me as like an anime cartoon character.
Yeah, so it overlays you. So essentially, it makes you look like one of these people.
So I could be a sexy anime chick?
But it's done in real time. So like you actually sit in front of your camera, but it's a filter that just puts the image in front of you. And
this
whatnot.
Software you can buy to do this?
Yes, Pokimane was actually doing it just this past week where she was going on streaming as a VTuber.
No longer will ugly streamers have to lose out viewers because they're not hot.
Wow, this is the greatest news ever.
Look, you can literally buy it on Steam. VTuber Maker. How much is it? Free.
What?
Wow. Are you going to be a VTuber? You should do your next stream VTubing.
I'm going to be a VTuber.
Nice.
I'm going straight to the top, guys.
What's your anime persona?
I don't know. I have to work that out. Mm. I want like a super hunky, like muscle bound.
He's got
to
workshop
man.
It.
Yeah, I have to workshop it. I got some ideas.
Jameson Von Thanemore.
Oh. That sounds like a very complicated name. I will never be able to spell that. The Call of Duty pro scene will be going through some major changes next season, but in order to prepare for those changes, has the parent company, Activision Blizzard, really used private investigators to intimidate cheat makers? We'll talk about that coming up, but first.
Hey! Oh! The guy is unreal.
My goodness!
Sports gaming update with Robbie Landis on Checkpoint XP Radio.
Earlier this year, a game created by Marcus Leto, one of the visionary minds behind Halo, launched a new game. That game was called Disintegration. Now, it tried some interesting new things, but apparently none of it was interesting enough to get it any fans. It was released in June, and come November, just 6 months after release, the multiplayer servers are shutting down.
Oof. That's sad for those guys, but that game was trash. I feel like that game was so bad.
The only real upside to them stopping now when they have is that at least they didn't keep it going for like 5 years.
I mean, look, there are still going to be people who are upset about it. Cliff Bleszinski, who was the mind behind Gears of War, I believe. He had, I think, two games over the past few years that people love but just did not gain enough traction and ended up shutting down. So it's unfortunately part of the business.
Sucks to suck.
A new AAA open-world role-playing game set in the world of Harry Potter was announced during Sony's recent PlayStation 5 showcase called Hogwarts Legacy. Now, due to J.K. Rowling's very vocal history of transphobia, the game immediately came under fire, but the creators of the game want everyone to know that she is not involved with the development in any way, though she is still going to make money off of it.
She got cut a check at the very beginning.
See, here's the bigger question. The bigger question, yes, is if it was just like a one-time payment, it's done and gone, or if she will continue to make money off of it.
I feel like she's going to sign a deal where she's going to continue making
probably
money
royalties.
Off of it. Yeah, as the game sells or if the game spins off into other sequels. She's the creator of Harry Potter. There's not a single thing that's going to have a Harry Potter name on it that she's not going to collect some sort of cash on. Mm-hmm.
Twitch has begun testing a new mid-stream ad break on its platform. Now, usually when you load up a stream, you'll see an ad right at the beginning, or if a partnered streamer chooses to, they can run an ad break. I do that whenever I have to like run to the bathroom, like refill my drink. Ad break time. But now these ads have the chance to randomly happen. No warning, no care for what is currently happening in the stream. Just boom, commercial. And rightly so, streamers and their viewers are not happy with it.
I don't know. Like it, I feel like this is more streamers crying about stuff. Like, I'm sorry that the platform you're on for free somehow has to serve you ads at some point. Like,
Okay, but hold on. Does it? I mean, through stuff like subs, they're making money. Through bits, they're making money. You don't think that they're already monetizing well enough?
Go somewhere else.
No.
You
see,
can't.
I disagree. This is Amazon behind it. Like, you exactly. Of all people. All right? Especially having worked in retail.
I still hate you, Jeff Bezos.
You
I still
know
hate
how
you.
This works. Every year when it comes back around, this is how much money we made. Now how can we make more?
I know.
How can we make more?
I know.
How can we make more? It will never be enough. And I'm sorry, but yeah, randomly putting them out in the middle of something, it's terrible.
You gotta
what
find
you
some
miss?
Way to make up for all the money that they're losing on those discounts they're giving out during September.
Oh yeah, because I'm sure they're losing out on so much. It's terrible. The game that started the Souls-like movement of hard-to-play, harder-to-master games as a remake coming to PlayStation 5. Demon's Souls, and as our producer Callie put it, actually looks playable.
It looks good.
It was the first game in the legacy of the Dark Souls series, but some people argue what made it difficult was the controls, not the game itself. Now, whether that's true or not, it's coming remastered to the PlayStation 5 and only the PlayStation 5. Early rumors are it will not be ported to PC and it will not be on the Xbox Series consoles.
I mean, like, is this still moving? Is this gonna? Is there anybody who's not already aware of Souls-like games that haven't played this game? Like, yeah, it'll look cool, but I feel like it's like Final Fantasy VII in the sense that, like,
I do actually know a few people that really need to get that game or get the PlayStation 5 at launch for Demon's Souls.
Really? Now, is this like the games that are like really, really hard? Like, it's like big boss battles, kind of like Cuphead?
Yep. Like, Sekiro was another one that released last year. So, I'm actually not sure this is the first. Did Bloodborne come before this?
No, this is the very first
one. So, this was the very, very first one. I think Bloodborne might have been a little bit more popular, maybe.
Yes.
But yeah, this was the one that started like that, like hard for hard's sake. No easy mode, unforgiving mechanics.
Yeah,
just if you're not good enough to beat this game,
get good, scrub.
You ain't gonna beat this game. Last year at E3, Ubisoft released a trailer for an upcoming game titled Gods and Monsters. As of earlier this month, you may know the game by a different name, Immortals Phoenix Rising. The reason for the name change? The developers say it made sense to change the name as the game changed through development, but during this time, Monster Energy Drink filed a 186-page complaint with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Cool.
186 pages.
Yeah.
Explaining why, in part, that Gods and Monsters' name would conflict with its own because of the drink company's involvement in sponsoring esports teams, tournaments, as well as actual video games.
I mean, do you think...
Do you guys want to know what the Monster video game is they thought might be confused with Gods and Monsters?
What?
Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I think of Gods and Monsters, I'm thinking of Super Motocross Riders, of course.
This isn't the first time it's happened. Monsters filed similar complaints with makers of tactical gear, ice cream, dog treats, and toy makers. And according to a Kotaku article, there are 25 currently pending notices of oppositions to other companies using the name Monster.
Whatever. I feel like it's like patent trolls. You know, like they just sit around and that's what the kind of stuff that they're looking for. Literally Monster in the title of anything. And they're just going to try to sue whether it makes sense or not.
It just shows how much money Monster has. If they have all that money to tie up stuff in like court litigations. Wow.
Yep. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, you can head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thank you, Robbie, for that update. Now, some big changes are coming to Call of Duty next year. We talked last week about the format change from 5-player teams to 4-player teams, but it also looks like a platform switch is in order. Weirdbeard, what can you tell us about all this?
So, Call of Duty is making the switch over to PCs for the next iteration of professional play.
But they're not allowed to use mouse and keyboard. What?
Wow, I think Robbie's brain's about to explode.
It's melting a little bit.
Does not compute. He's like a robot that doesn't understand the code that was
it's
just entered in.
So dumb.
So they're making the switch to so that it's like PCs are what's running the game and everything like that.
So you're gonna play on a PC but with a controller?
Yes, and
right up my alley.
Apparently.
One of the big reasons that people are now saying that cheat makers are being absolutely hounded in person for making cheats. Now, let me tell you this story. So what happened is last week, a guy posted on his Discord a message. And in this Discord, Discord's like a private messaging app or whatever like that, right? And it was specifically set for people who would buy cheats from him. This guy posted and essentially said, I was approached by a private investigator last week who not only said that they know who I am and who my family is, but that if I continue to create cheats, that it would be an issue.
Ooh.
And so they showed up to this guy's house, served him with papers and were like, yeah, so, you know, your mom, you know, Clarice and your dad, Chad and everything like that. We wouldn't want them to find out about you making all these cheats.
That's
and everything.
Like mafia
stuff. It's 100% mafia stuff.
Like, you know, your mom, Carol, you'd hate to see her get hurt if you keep making these cheats, huh?
And in it, the guy literally had to say, like, I value my family's life more than anything else. So I will not, and he put it in there, like, I will not make any cheats. I will not be involved with it. He said that he still may produce cheats for other video games. But as far as Call of Duty goes, he was like, I wash my hands of everything on this. It will not no longer be serviced.
You know, it's terrifying, first of all, yes, but it shouldn't be surprising. Like we continue, even with as far as video games have come and as wide-reaching as they are, because they're video games, we still look at them like, oh, they're just games. But this is a billion-dollar industry, right? I mean, we might be in trillion-dollar industries at this point. I don't know. But the point is, there's money tied up
lots
in this,
of money,
right?
Yeah.
This is no different, because when you're making cheat software, you are in some way affecting the bottom line of these companies. You know, if you were doing that for big oil and, you know, some goons showed up to your house and started to, you know, pressure you and stuff, I don't think anybody would be surprised by that, but still, terrifying.
Again,
don't cheat.
The reason that they do this with the switching over to PCs and everything is that it's easier to hack stuff on a PC than it is on a console.
Yep.
So now, you know,
they're getting ahead of it.
This is the second time this year that apparently cheat makers have been served in person by private investigators to quit making cheats, and I don't think it's going to be the last time that we hear about it in the coming couple of months.
Wow, that's crazy. You're looking for a hit game that you might have missed, maybe something that's easy to get into but still worth the time? Well, then we have a great gaming recommendation coming up in just a bit. But first, the hits keep on coming in the Apple versus Epic Games battle, and they haven't even entered an actual courtroom yet. What's going on with that? We'll tell you next on Checkpoint XP.
The U.S. Marines and Nerd Street Gamers are hosting a free $500 Open League of Legends tournament. Registration is now open, and the tournament starts at 5 p.m. Friday, October 2nd, and the game mode is Summoner's Rift. Visit nerdstreetgamers.com/Marines for rules, tournament information, and to secure your slot. Don't miss out. Register now at nerdstreetgamers.com/Marines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you have what it takes?
Stop blowing my mind!
We're rolling with continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness around!
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're hanging with me, James Campbell, along with Weird Beard, and someone who's already smashed through the entire Avengers single-player campaign, Robbie Landis.
I mean, it wasn't that long, really, and I kind of took my time with it. It's funny, now that I'm actually through it, though, I find myself playing even more than I was beforehand. Because even after you finish, like, the main story...
There's still so much game to get to?
Well, there's still, like, when you're doing the missions, I thought it would just be an endless grind fest, right? Doing the same things over and over and over again.
Kind of is.
It is, but there's still story in it. You don't get, like, the cutscenes that you did before, but the reason you're going on to these missions is still there. You're still getting background on, like, some of the characters and some of the villains and whatnot, so... Yeah, I'm having a blast. So you need to get caught up so we can assemble here.
I know. I need to get farther than 5% through the game. That's where I'm at right now.
You are which Avenger, James?
Well, right now I'm playing as Ms. Marvel.
No, like in real life.
Oh, in real life, Incredible Hulk. Hulk smash.
I've been playing a lot of Captain America and Black Widow.
In real life, you are?
Oh, in real life? I don't know. Who you think I am?
Black Widow.
Robbie. No, no one's watching. The hits keep on coming in the Apple versus Epic Games battle, and they haven't even entered the actual courtroom yet. Robbie, what is going on?
Yeah, so Apple has gone ahead and, whatever the court filing system is, they haven't actually gone to court yet. Like you said, they've basically just been filing complaints back and forth to one another, and Apple's latest gambit against Epic Games creator for Fortnite is basically that the entire lawsuit is nothing more than just one big publicity stunt. Some of the things that Apple had mentioned, they said, for reasons having nothing to do with Apple or Fortnite's claim, Epic's claim against Apple, Fortnite's popularity is waning. They pointed out that in July 2020, interest in Fortnite had decreased by nearly 70%.
Wow.
Compared to October 2019. And they're basically saying the only reason they're doing this is to get Fortnite back in the headlines. Now, it is worth noting, though, that Apple's cited numbers come from Google Trends. And back in May, PC gamers noted that registered Fortnite users are actually up 100 million from 2019. So at least that part there seems a little bit of like a he said, she said sort of thing. But it's hard to argue with the idea that they might be using this for publicity, because when it first started, you know, the day that we found out that Fortnite was removed from the Apple Store, they had like this pre-made,
yeah, they had
like,
ready
like
to
trailer,
go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a whole campaign about, you know, what was it, free Fortnite or something like that?
Yeah,
It's very big brothery, like was it at the Apple store or whatever, mm-hmm. watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's hard to argue against that. You know, Apple has also said that Epic has engaged, referring to this video, in a full-scale pre-planned media blitz surrounding its decision to breach its agreement with Apple. And then finally, Apple also included that Epic's own conduct in developing and distributing Fortnite establishes that the iPhone is quote-unquote reasonably interchangeable and apparently accounts for less than 10% of the player base. So Apple's essentially trying to say, like, you know, they're saying that, you know, because in last week's show we had mentioned that with the Fortnite metaverse, that mobile, according to Epic, is going to be, like, you know, an important part of it, that we can't do what we want to do without it. But then Apple points out, by the same admission, you're saying that Fortnite doesn't even rely on you or on us all that much. So, I don't know. It to me, it feels like before it's even in the courtroom, they're at a point now where they're just, like, pointing fingers and, like, calling each other names at this point.
Yeah, this is like a bad breakup that we're just watching play out in real time on Facebook, to where every week it's some new trashy status talking about, well, they did this and then they did this and they're not popular anymore.
Well, do you think it's going to be like all the other high school relationships? So the popular kids or the, you know, the jock and the hot cheerleader, they break up and they get back together. They break up, they get back together.
There's so much money there. You know what I mean? Could it happen? Absolutely. Might it happen? Who knows? I don't care anymore. I'm not invested. I'm just not invested in this story anymore. It's just, it's rich people shit, man. It's just, it's literally stuff that, like, they are playing with billions of dollars amongst each other, and they just are like, well, they might have $1 billion more than me. I don't care. Shut up. Just make it consumer friendly, and this is all dumb.
Can't be bothered to play new games as they come out.
I've been hearing about this Skyrim thing. Is that worth buying?
For gamers behind the times, it's the Patient Gamer.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Each week, Weird Beard and Robbie bring us a new game to check out that we might have otherwise missed. What have we got this week, Robbie?
This week, we're taking a look at Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus.
Just who the f*** are you, white boy?
Stay calm. Let me first make it absolutely clear that I am not a Nazi.
Wait, what did you say? You say you're a Nazi?
Oh, f*** this.
Motherfucker!
Let me say this again. I ain't no goddamn Nazi.
Hey! Now you bring Super Special back in and you put him down right now, or I will shove this grenade so far up your ass.
Lady, I got precious little time for your bullshit. We've been trying to make contact with your group.
So the story follows war veteran William B.J. Blazkowicz and his efforts to fight against the Nazi regime in the United States. So it takes place in an alternate history game, a what-if-the-Nazis-won-the-war type scenario. B.J. is given a kind of, like, cyber-enhanced bodysuit and just goes to town fighting Nazis for the resistance. Wow. It's a first-person shooter. It is graphic. It is bloody. It is, like, non-stop, like, Nazi killing, blood, gore.
Is it kind of like Doom, but instead of all these demons that you're exploding, it's Nazi souls?
Pretty much. Oh, wow. That's, like, very graphic. Spot on.
And it's great. Like, it's a power fantasy, just like Doom is. It's not about, like, oh, I gotta be sneaky, and how can I conserve?
You can actually stealth through it. There are stealth elements if you want to.
Who plays that way?
The reason that I ended up loving this game so much is, first of all, you can dual wield and interchange all the different guns.
Yes.
And for some reason, it was the first person shooter that I have played since GoldenEye back on the N64 that gave me, like, that classic first person shooter sort of feel. Like I don't know, just something about it felt like coming home, as corny as that may sound. But I really loved it. It was great. It takes about 7 to 10 hours to beat the full campaign if you're just rushing through it. There's, you know, all types of little side things and collectibles you can get. It's on all major consoles, PlayStation, Xbox, PC. It's even on the Switch. I don't know how well it operates on the Switch. And it's still $39.99. But if you keep your eye out here and there, especially on Steam or if it's on the Epic Game Store, you can probably get it for half off or even better. You know, what's funny about this is when this first came out, because it's actually only, I think, 2 or 3 years old at this point, but when this was first announced, people actually thought that it was like some big political, like, you know, expose on, like, you know, the state of America
the
right
liberals
now.
Liberals are coming into gaming and they want to change. And it's like, no, it's literally just like...
The Nazis are bad guys. They've been doing this. The first Wolfenstein came back out in, like, what, the earlier, the mid-90s?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say mid to late 90s.
Yes, Wolfenstein's been about shooting and killing Nazis since forever. Like, they're as interchangeable as zombies or werewolves. Like, they're bad guys.
The other thing, too, that I would say is my favorite thing about this is that you can turn the music all the way down. You put on, like, just some heavy speed metal.
Oh, there you go.
Know what I mean? And just go to town. You just go to town. You have a bad day. This is the kind of game that you pick up, and you do nothing but just, like, blow people's faces
off. Now we know what Weirdbeard's doing when he's not calling you back when you're trying to get an answer.
There is
that question.
One scene in this game where BJ, where he's about to be, like, blown up by a grenade, and his wife, like, tackles him out of the way, saving him, and then she, like, gets up with two machine guns as, like, monsters are, or as Nazis are coming through the door and just starts, like, mowing them down. But for some reason, I don't remember why, but she's also shirtless in this scene, so she's just mowing down Nazis with blood splattering all over her. Like, it's that tight. Like, it's gratuitous violence.
Well, there's your patient gamer recommendation: Wolfenstein 2: The New Colossus, available on all major consoles, PlayStation, Xbox, PC. Coming up next, we asked on social media at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, what game defined the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One generation for you. We'll talk to you about your answers when Checkpoint XP returns.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. Overwatch League is drawing towards its exciting finale this year. In a year marred by COVID-19, the best teams in the world will be making their way to South Korea for the finals. Teams that qualify will need to quarantine for 2 weeks before being allowed to compete at the beginning of October. The LCS Summer Split has drawn to a close, and with teams now qualified, we are officially on the road to Worlds. This year's event will be taking place in a bubble in Shanghai, as teams from all over the world will remain in quarantine throughout the month of October. Vietnam has elected not to participate. ESL Season 12 is officially kicked off in Counter-Strike Global Offensive. All matches this season will be played online due to ongoing concerns with, you guessed it, COVID-19. Qualifiers for the RLCS X Fall Major will be going on throughout the month of September. No word yet on when the Fall Major itself will take place. The November 6th Siege Major has been replaced by a regional competition that will be held online. North American competition starts November 13th. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
In the world of esports, check out our website at CheckpointXP.com.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I'm James Campbell. With me is Robbie Landis, the man who's been spending his spare time chasing down stars in Mario 64 on the new Mario 3D All-Stars. Weirdbeard.
I talk about this probably every week. There's so much drama in my Nintendo Boomers group of people being butthurt about the fact that it's not the best game ever. It's like the game is 29 years old. Yeah. It's still killer, and I'll take it. And you know what my favorite thing about it? It runs on an emulator, so that means that they're bringing more N64 games to the Switch soon.
Ooh, there you go. There's a bold prediction there by Weirdbeard coming soon to your Switch. We asked on social media over at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, what game defined the generation for you? We're going to talk to you about your answers in a moment, but first, we're going to discuss our answers. I'm going to kick things over to Robbie, because I'm interested to see what Robbie is calling generation-defining game.
Boy, you're putting me on the spot here. It's tough. It's tough for me to answer this on a personal basis.
Well, let me say this. What do you think belong, like, what is an attribute that you think belongs on a generation-defining game?
Boom. I don't know that we've seen it yet, is the problem. I don't know that we can tell within this generation what's really defined it, but if I had to make a prediction, I would say, and this is maybe tied a little bit between the Resident Evil, was it Resident Evil 2 that got the remake?
Yes, and 3 eventually got
Resident
it as well.
Evil 2 and the Final Fantasy VII remake changed the idea of what a remake is. Final Fantasy VII especially, right? Because it wasn't just upscaling the graphics or giving it a shiny new coat of
They're giving
paint.
It a whole new, they're getting this, the story that you had back in the past, but they're giving you more story to go along with
and,
it.
And just changing, I mean, the combat is changed, everything about it is changed, but somehow it is still the same game. And, you know, we think that we're already sick of the remakes and the reboots. I don't even think that we've seen it yet. If any other developers are willing to go in as heavy as Square Enix did with Final Fantasy VII. So I think my vote's going to go with Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay. Weird Beer, what about you?
Uncharted is a good one. Witcher was a good one. Death Stranding, I think, would be another one, only because it showed a game that I think only the newer generation could make happen. You know what I mean? Like, I would never see a Death Stranding come out on a PS2. You'd be like, what the hell is that? But what I have to say and argue for mine would be God of War. I think God of War was
That's actually a good one.
It was the defining, like, it... The stars finally aligned to be able to bring, like, really good storytelling and character-driven gameplay with, like, satisfactory video game action.
The God of War franchise is something that should have faded into obscurity.
Absolutely.
With what the franchise used to be, which was just hack and slash. But someone was like, nah, you know what? We're going to bring it back. We're not going to reboot it. It's a continued storyline, and we're going to bring it into this new generation. You know what, Weird Beard?
Wow, you got a clap from Robbie.
Yeah. What about you? What about you, James?
I feel it's not a game I really want to give a response as a generation-defining game for the consoles. But to me, I feel like what Fortnite has done in terms of people playing online
Fortnite
together,
is absolutely,
but having those big events, like the events that people are tuning in for, putting on concerts, mm-hmm. things like that. To me, I feel like Fortnite has really shown like what video games can be in terms of like involving social elements and things like that. So I feel like Fortnite to me is one of those big generation-defining games.
No, Fortnite is absolutely there, but it's also an easy go-to, so you don't get a clap for it.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of my runner-ups, I think we should toss some of these out if you have any other ones. Red Dead Redemption 2
is good.
Well,
hold on, because some of these games might be what our viewers and our social media people say, all right? Fine. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go to the phone lines because we did get a call here from Nadia, who we actually talked to early in the show as well.
Hey, this is Nadia Morris in Atlanta, Georgia. The video game that defined the generation for me was definitely on the Switch, and it was Zelda Breath of the Wild. The gameplay, the graphics, the story, everything was amazing. I just love that game. Thanks, guys.
Awesome, Nadia. Thank you so much for that call. Remember, if you want to reach out to us, you can contact us as well, just like Nadia did, by calling 1-833-557-0974. You're welcome to chime in on any of the social media questions we have posed, or you can also ask us a question that you think the experts here at Checkpoint XP should be able to answer. So let's respond to that. Weird Beard, I know Breath of the Wild, that's a big game in your world. Do you think that's a good generation-defining game?
I think it ushered in for Nintendo especially, right? Like, let's take...
All right, I will give you that, because this is the first time that Nintendo has been willing to mess with one of their formulas.
Yes, exactly.
Taking Zelda... The art direction wasn't necessarily anything new, because they've done stuff like Wind Waker. But going into, like, the open world sort of format, and even when it comes to, like, the inventory management and stuff, there was a lot of big changes. And now we're seeing Breath of the Wild 2. I mean, we don't know a whole lot about it, but isn't it being billed as more of an expansion than, like, the actual sequel or a new game? Or do we not know enough yet?
We don't know enough yet. They have Hyrule Warriors coming out, but that's...
They did also release a bunch of DLC for Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
Which prior to that, Nintendo's never really done the DLC microtransaction type thing.
I would
before.
Say Breath of the Wild is the first modern Nintendo game that would stand up next to like modern PS4 and Xbox One games.
I'll give you that one.
Cool.
All right, taking a look here. Stasis Zero says Pokemon for sure. I still play it to this day and never get tired of it. I don't know if talking about the franchise as a whole or specifically Sword and Shield. But in the same way that we just talked about Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild kind of changing the Zelda game, they've slowly sort of been making steps towards that with Pokemon as well. And Sword and Shield is, again, a far and away one of the biggest deviations from the original franchise, while also somehow still staying true to it. Let's see here. Alex T says Pong, which I think that he may have thought we're just asking him of your generation, but... Theodore T. Chimed in and says, Pa, the latest generation of gaming. I have no idea if that's actually his Pa or not. But Theo says, Final Fantasy 15. I questioned this at first because 15 was an okay game at best. But he says, proof of the PS4's amazing specs, a shift in Japanese production towards a larger global audience, but also a disappointment from which we can better appreciate games like Nier Automata, which had a better execution of the battle system, Persona 5, proof that turn-based systems are still viable, Horizon Zero Dawn, more color and aesthetic, and Death Stranding, which was a Japanese-developed game for a Western audience.
That's actually
a really good choice, then, overall.
One of those I wanted to talk about was Horizon Zero Dawn. It absolutely was a next-gen game. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those that when you looked at it, it screamed, this is the eighth generation of gaming, and it just, like, it amazing. I think that's why they're launching with the next Horizon Zero Dawn for the PS5, is because it is, a genre and generation-defining
franchise. And I think that so many people are still sleeping on that game, and if you give it another generation or two, people are going to look at Horizon Zero Dawn the same way that we do Final Fantasies or the Metal Gear Solids. Like, that's going to be a heavy-hitting IP. From Chuck, he says, for this generation, probably either Persona 5 or Spider-Man. You know, I really wanted to give my nod to Arkham Asylum, because they kind of started, the golden age of superhero games, but that was actually a PS3 game.
Ooh.
Where that
one generation
began.
Short.
Yeah, one generation.
You do hear a lot of good things, a lot of big things about Spider-Man on the PS4. Like, that game, when it came out, was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like they're taking what they did with that game and they're putting it right back into the PS5 with the new Miles Morales.
Yeah, and you know, what I noticed too during that trailer is it would be so easy to just take the Spider-Man game, the Spider-Man engine, slap the Miles skin on it, and then go. But when you watch even the way that Miles fights, like I think that they rebuilt that from the ground up so that he has his own distinctive sort of feel to it. Like, it still looks like Spider-Man, but it doesn't look like the Spider-Man that we got with Peter Parker, which, you know, as a fan, is something that I really, really appreciate.
Remember, if you enjoyed these responses, you can always include yours by commenting on our social media, at Checkpoint XP. However, we do want to talk to you on the phone, so if you want to talk to us, remember, you can always give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. You can even call in and ask any question you feel like the experts here at Checkpoint XP should be able to answer. If you want, call in, leave us your answer for next week's questions, like, what is a game you can't watch someone else play without wanting to take over yourself? That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening on your radio station. Make sure you head on over to CheckpointXP.com. A big thank you to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and producer Callie for helping put this episode together. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at CheckpointXP. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the show, and we'll talk to you again on the next level.